The meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will please come to order. It is Thursday, February 2nd, 2012. And today on our agenda is the confirmation hearing for James Showalter, better known as Jim, who is our Commissioner of Management and Budget. And we welcome you, Commissioner Showalter, to our committee. And I'd like to also welcome your family. I see you have your wife, Stephanie, and your children, Julia and Sam, here. So welcome to them as well. Commissioner, we know it's been a tough year, but it isn't your first year with MMB. We know you were the budget director under the Pawlenty administration prior to becoming the commissioner under the Dayton administration, so you've had some changes to make in that time as well. I realize that we had some tough budget decisions, which fell in your agency, many of them. And I just want to express my appreciation to start off with, even though we were sitting on opposite sides of the table during negotiations, for the professionalism and the way you handled yourself during those tough times. And I recognize, as all of us who worked on the budget, how difficult that was, that whole period of time. So thank you for that. But we do want to find out more about you. And we have some questions, I'm sure, that we'd like to ask, but I don't know if you want to start out by just giving us some background. We do have a bit of a resume in our packet, members. It tells somewhat about professional background, but maybe you'd just like to tell us about what you've done within the agency and mention any prior experience that you've had before coming there.
Sure thing. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity to come before you and the committee as the Commissioner of Management and Budget. For the record, my name is Jim Showalter, and I'm here for the confirmation process as Commissioner. I'll walk through a little bit about my background, despite it being me, this is probably one of the least comfortable presentations I'm going to give to this committee any time last year or this year. So I actually even have a couple notes. I'll try and bring those out to make sure I remember everything I want to tell you. Because in the bottom line here is I'm honored to be here and nominated for this position. The governor has shown me a great confidence and trust. And despite it being a difficult year, I've enjoyed working with him and everyone on this committee through all the challenges that we've had. It's been a long and somewhat visible job application process in some ways, because you're right. I think you all have seen me in good times and in bad times. And so you probably come here with a lot of understanding of what I do and some of the activities. But I'll try and take this opportunity to give you a little bit more personal background. I started with the state about 17 years ago. I really do believe in the power and the potential of state government and the people who get those things done. I've been with the Department of Management and Budget, prior to that Department of Finance, through that entire time. And I've worked with some really creative people. I've worked with some really wonderful and dedicated people as well. And that's been enough to keep me going, because the truth of the matter is I had no intention of being with the state for 17 years when I started. I appreciate your comments, Madam Chair, about professionalism, because that's how I think about my approach. I believe I'm a professional in an agency that prides itself and thrives on its professionalism. We know that there's politics. We know that there's communications to the broader public. But in the end, I think it's about public service. And we all have our roles in that public service and getting decisions made and getting them implemented appropriately. And I commit to you that as commissioner, I will try to keep up that tradition and help further that spirit of professionalism within the department and within the state. The job that I'm here for is really pretty, it's not pretty difficult, it's extremely difficult. The department is pretty small, but we have a lot of lines of business. And I don't know that everyone really understands all the things that have been going on. When I started the job last January, it was a jump in roles and responsibilities, and I sort of dug in right away, as many of you did, in your new roles. That said, I didn't get a chance to really introduce everything that the department does, but just in brief review, we're this agency that provides the insurance programs for Allstate employees and beyond. One of the largest insurance pools in the state. We're the agency that runs the accounting systems. Roughly 500,000 transactions already made, our payments made just in the first 6 months of this year. It's the group that you see all the time doing budgets and working with the governor and legislative committees, helping get information about options that are in front of you. It's the team that floats capital budget recommendations and ultimately finds ways to finance them through dealing with Wall Street and the bond houses. We have our human resources team that's in leaders in working with state agencies and the rules and regulations and protecting state employees and also making sure that we have ways to manage for performance. It's the labor relations team that does contract negotiations and the forecasters, of course, who you see come out a couple of times a year, sort of like groundhogs. Here's the information. Here's what's going on. But I think we rely on them 12 months a year for their expertise and understanding of what's going on. So, you know, my background, you see it in front of you on the resume. I've worked with a number of different state agencies in my capacities at the Department of Finance. I've grown to familiar with the operations of the department and other departments through that work. Ultimately, I've had a lot of experience in decision-making, the implementation of policies, and seeing some things that have gone well and some things that have gone not so well. Ultimately, it's been a difficult year for this entire team at Management and Budget. It's been sometimes a wrenching year. Between the transition, the deficit challenges that you mentioned, Madam Chair, computer system implementation called SWIFT, and the shutdown all have been significant hurdles, and some we're still feeling some of the repercussions of those things. But I think the experiences that I've had at the state, at the department, prior to joining the state as well, have prepared me for the role, and would be happy to answer any specific questions you might have about those experiences or my perspectives.
Do members have questions? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. And you just mentioned this a little bit. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on the shutdown and the role as commissioner. What role you did play, and how would you handle it different? Did you think you handled it well? It was just brutal for everybody, but. Maybe you can give us a little idea, because you were on the center stage pretty much all the time with the governor and leadership. And how do you think that went in general, and what would you do different to change it if you think there should be changes?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator, good question. It was the shutdown was something I never wanted to see. I don't think any of us ever wanted to see. And trying to manage through it is kind of an oxymoron. But putting aside the budget impasse that led to the shutdown, I'm extremely proud of what I did, and I think the team at Management and Budget and agency managers did to get through it. The hard part, well, there's many hard parts about it, but there's a couple of things going on that were the big challenges that we tried to address. One was we had no rules. We had no experience. We had no guidelines. And I'm talking not just operational guidelines. I'm talking legal guidelines. It wasn't clear what the level of authority we had for operating programs. It wasn't clear what court decisions were going to be made on any given day. It wasn't clear how things would play out in the next couple of days. As a result, we had challenges, questions, issues that came up literally every day. Major ones that would normally we would chew on for quite a while. We set up a process that brought that information in, got the experts in the room so that we had as much information as possible, got the decisions made, and communicated them out to agencies as fast as possible. So in the end, I don't have a lot of regrets on how we managed it. I have regrets that we were in that position. I believe that we tried to prevent as much unintended consequence and accidental error and harm to employees, to programs as possible, and know that in that kind of environment, mistakes are going to be made, but we were making so many, we were covering so much ground so quickly that I would still set it up the same way, and I would still try to sort of commend that as a way to manage projects and urgent projects going into the future.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for being here today, and thank you for your service, sort of to follow on to Senator Ingebrigtsen's question. There have been, I believe, some bills proposed that would put into law a structure that would, in future, in the event of a budget impasse, call for the continuation of the current budget into whatever the time frame would take to reach a resolution to prevent the disruption of services and layoff of employees and so forth that have been the experience in the last two shutdown events that we've experienced. And my question is, would you or favor those kinds of solutions? Do you have an opinion on the value of that kind of legislation being adopted? Do you think that would be of use to avoid the kind of things that we dealt with in the last budget cycle?
Commissioner Showalter.
Madam Chair, Senator, excellent question. My personal opinion is that we shouldn't ever get to a shutdown and that we should do anything we can to avoid it. And from my prior experience, having been around the state for a long time, the belief was always that the abyss of a shutdown was so scary and was so unacceptable that we would never get to that situation. We would always drive to a negotiated budget one way or another prior to getting to that. The fact of the matter is now we've leapt over that, into that abyss a couple of times and are starting to understand how to manage it, some of the legal questions that still are out there. And I'm not sure that I've necessarily adjusted to that. As a professional, I would much rather not try to define that period of time where we know that there's going to be other legal questions, that there's that the false hope that we can manage through a shutdown or a lack of a future budget impasse. That said, I would tell you that the impacts of a shutdown were not logical, that they were concentrated on state employees, that the, I think in review, the types of services that stayed open versus those that didn't stay open didn't make a lot of sense. And so, you know, whether it's a proactive legislation now or more likely, you know, as the legislature and governor do negotiations, if, you know, if there ever came another need, I would hope we'd address some of those questions to make sure that we've got some of the core functions taken care of so that any shutdown isn't disproportionately felt by certain agencies, certain state employees, and that we got a little bit of certainty there.
I think Senator Magnus was next.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Commissioner. You know, we've had a lot of discussion in the past several years under both administrations here I've served under, but about fiscal notes. And I guess I wanted to ask you a question about, you know, it's gotten to the point that we had a Office of the Legislators Legislative Audit do a study on this, and I haven't seen the results of that study. I don't know if you have, Commissioner, but could you just briefly talk about the fiscal note process and how it's working, and do you think there's improvements that could be made, and if you've seen the study, if you agree with what the Mr. Nobles is saying, so...
Madam Chair, Senator, it's unusual for me to get to promote an upcoming OLA report, but I don't think I get to divulge their results. It's, I think, confidential until they release it. But nonetheless, I think that study is a very thorough and appropriate one to look at this process. It's really sort of our financial lifeblood. So the legislators have information about the impact of options. MMB staff are sort of the managers of that, making sure that agencies have input. And you know, as long as I've been around, there have been concerns about the fiscal notes. The volume of them, the number of people, the relative scarcity of people who are working on them, trying to prioritize, all of those things just keep on coming up. So you can always find some fiscal note that doesn't quite stack up. I'd say from my perspective, the process still works really, really well. When I talk to colleagues in other states, they are envious of the kinds of information that we're able to provide. The quality of information and, you know, frankly, the collaboration between the legislature and agencies. Because that's we don't duplicate efforts. You know, we try to keep it going. And I think the OLA really takes a pretty detailed study of how that process has been working. I would just hope that the legislature continues to use that process. And I think depending on that process, challenging fiscal notes, talking about them in committee is the way to go, so that we can have the assumptions on the table and we can have an honest and clear dialogue about what those financial underpinnings are. I don't ever want to get into a place where we're running two sets of books. Yeah. That's a waste.
The report's coming out on the 9th, and we are going to have them presented, I believe, on the 14th to our committee. So we'll get an overview of the OLA report at that time. Senator Bonna.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. I missed your introduction. I understand your children are here, so it's nice that you brought them today and your family. And I just wanted to say that I know when you've served the state in the way you have for all those years, your family also serves the state, and you sacrifice much, so a thank you to your family as well. And then another thing is I've appreciated that you have worked for other administrations, because I think that in itself is the clearest measure of that this isn't political for you, that you really are serving the state to share the financial data that you do and to guide us in that way. And I've appreciated your lack of partisan demeanor, no matter what the question and what the issue, and think that we should have more of that in government. So thank you for the way that you present your department and your work.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Very nice to see you again. Just want you to know that I appreciate the fact that you're here and willing to answer our questions. I want to follow up a little bit on what Senator Hahn was getting to, and that's the shutdown. And you've been through a couple of them. I've been through two of them. There's a lot of us around the table that have been through two of them. And I don't think anybody looks forward to it. I mean, it's just an awful experience. So my question is there any way that, you know, given your experience and your position, is there any way that you would be able to help us by offering us advice or suggestions to the legislature that we could address legislatively to avoid the possibility of a future shutdown, thereby helping your agency and, by extension, the state of Minnesota?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Senator, of course, I would be happy to give you ideas. I think the really difficult issue here, though, is that, you know, in the end, the budget is a negotiation. And I don't know of a framework that forces that resolution. You can provide different incentives. You can change those incentives, and we can talk about different ways to incent different types of behavior, different ways to make clear some things or another. But in the end, you know, there's just a lot of trade-offs, and that is a question for the legislature as to whether the trade-offs don't work right now. That the biennial budget process and the possibility of a shutdown isn't adequate, or whether you want to preserve sort of the opportunities for discussion and negotiation in the future, for future legislatures and future governors. But happy to provide you ideas, happy to give you my thoughts, but I'm going to tell you that there's pros and cons to pretty much everything around that idea.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your work. The last 4 years, it seems like, have been years when we've been receiving a lot of stimulus money, outside money. I know the last years of the Pawlenty administration, we had numerous discussions about how do we deal or how do we interweave our state spending with federal spending, and Minnesota has figured out a good system. I think you've had probably one of the best systems of how we can maximize the use of the federal money. So two questions. One is, as the federal government winds down on their federal money, whether they call it stimulus or however that money gets here, do you see changes on how we can adjust our budgets or where we need to adjust our budgets? And maybe they won't wind down. Maybe there's other areas such as health care or some other area where the state will or the federal government will increase their commitments to state. What do you see in that relationship? And I guess I know the numerous hours that you and former commissioner spent before committees. So I applaud you for all the work that you put into it and definitely making that work.
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Senator, a couple of responses. One, thanks for noting the work on the stimulus. The agency was in one of those MacGyver situations where we're trying to make it up and figure out what the federal government wants to do, even though they hadn't figured it out. But there was public pressure to deliver the money somehow and get results, even though the process was very fluid, very public. And we did spend a lot of time trying to explain what we were doing and how we were doing it. The team at MMB, just did an amazing job. When we started, we didn't have much infrastructure for talking about federal funds. When a national survey came through, we were one of the less transparent and less publishable states. By the end, we were in the top five in terms of the types of information, the types of analysis, and the ways that we were using stimulus funds. We've gone through the audits very effectively as well. And this is all without building a whole new office. I'm from Wisconsin, and it was awkward because we would look across the river and realize that they're building this whole new office to manage the stimulus dollars. And we got an earmark in the state government bill basically to say, yep, we can have a little bit of seed money to put it together. But pretty much we were begging and borrowing to put a small team together to manage it with existing state employees and working through agencies. That strategy worked. It totally worked because the agencies were the right people to know the existing programs. They were completely the right people who could work through the federal regulations ultimately. But it was, one of those stresses and strains on the system to get it all done. Federal dollars are and will continue to be a issue for the state. The stimulus dollars really got us through a tough patch. There's just no doubt about it that the budget problems that we had would have been 10 times worse had it not been for some of those stimulus dollars patching up some of the budget gaps that we had. But going forward, I'm expecting that most of the discretionary grants coming from the federal government will be under close review by Congress, and that a lot of that money will either be disappearing or be cut back. So you're going to see pressures on yourselves for replacing some of that money through state funds. The process itself doesn't make that automatic, and that's exactly how it should be. The federal funds came in. We wanted to use those for the purpose intended. If those federal funds aren't there, they sort of become back of the queue. They become questions for the state as to whether we assume those responsibilities. They don't become automatic. We're going to see and talk about that, I think, a lot in the coming years. Health reform, obviously, Senator Hahn and the Health and Human Services Committee also just paramount importance because Medicaid is a huge portion of the state's revenues. I did a presentation just the other day, just to conclude my remarks, but I was looking at all the revenue sources for the state, and I just don't go back to that level very often. But here was a nice big pie chart, and I was like, what do you surprise? Income tax, yeah, of course. Sales tax, yeah, of course. What was the other really big slice of the pie? It was federal funds. It was federal funds coming into the state. And so we are doing a lot of work on behalf of the federal government, and we need to think about that sometimes because we are, in some respects, a pass-through agent for them. And it is not part of our state budget decisions, but it's part of our operations.
On that point, Commissioner, I just wanted to continue along that line. And I expect that we will be seeing less federal money in the future, and we're going to have to deal with that at the state level. But we also get a number of federal grants that come into the state, and I know there's been some discussion about the way that process is handled. We have a process set up in current law, and it has been followed, but it's a bit controversial. And I understand the problem that we are a part-time legislature, and we are usually only here for 5 months at the most of each year, but those grants can come in year-round, and they do come in year-round.
They do.
And so we have a process to notify chairs when the money comes in, and I get notification, and same with the House Ways and Means chair. And if there's something that we don't like, that we don't want to accept, that we can flag it, put a notice out there that we're concerned about it. But then we sometimes don't know where to go from there, and we're trying to think of a correct process. I mean, some people have suggested that we wait to appropriate all those grants till we're back in session. I am concerned about that because some of the grants could come through in July, and then we're waiting until finance bills get done in May before we could even think about spending any of the money. So do you have any suggestions of a different way it might be managed? Because it is a bit controversial, and there have been some issues raised about the process right now. And I know members are looking at it. We're not sure which direction to go.
Madam Chair, excellent point. I'm not sure which some of the options you're thinking about specifically, but you know, in the end, I've tried at times to convince the federal government really they should pay attention to the state schedule, and that's never worked. The feds don't care. And so we have to adjust. And how we adjust is, you know, I think the current process helps get that information out. At its core, I would also just point out that your fiscal staff is just a huge resource for working through some of these issues, helping get information from agencies and work through some of these questions so that, you know, admittedly, some of the forms sometimes can be a little obtuse. That's a way to start that dialogue even before we get to the formal approval process because, you know, I think that at the core, it's just like helping us all understand what are these federal grants, why are they coming through, why are they coming through now, and are they really all that urgent? And that's, you know, what our executive budget officers, your fiscal analysts, can help all members get around those questions even before we tweak or don't tweak the approval process.
Okay, and we'll be talking more about it, I'm sure, because there's some interest in tweaking that a little bit. I don't know which direction it might take, but we'll continue to discuss it with you. Senator Higgins was next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm enjoying looking at your resume, and really, it's nice to see the strong emphasis on kind of the back of the house work, you know, not the glamorous stuff, but the kind of work that has to be done in any kind of organization that makes it work, planning and budget and the cross-disciplinary work. And making sure that there are internal controls to make sure that our government works well, and I think too often that kind of work gets either denigrated or just totally forgotten about. And you have this wonderful long work history of making sure that our state government works well across agencies, I think you have really done a great job of working on behalf of the Minnesotans. So I wanted to thank you for that. Is it time for a motion?
Not quite. We still have a few more people who have questions. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. See, you notice how he starts smiling.
I was going to be disappointed.
Commissioner, I'm just a little curious. When I first met you after my special election in January, I've noticed the tinge of white in your hair. I'm hoping I'm not part of that turning color. So. But really, I think what I would like to say is, for me personally, out of all of the commissioners that I deal with, you and I have gone nose to nose, not only in committee, but sometimes just talking. But you've always been very straightforward, at least with me. I think with our committee, you've come in and been very forthright with any information or any request, I think, that we've asked, and I appreciate that. You have kind of led the charge in a lot of changes in budgets and new ideas. Can you give us an insight of the successes that you're seeing right now? You know, I'm thinking about things like the OET consolidation and how that's working. Can you give us an idea of what you're seeing right now, and if there is anything that should just stop or go away? I know we talked about one program a couple of years ago that you had started and found out that it didn't work. But I'm just trying to get a handle on with the kind of reforms and things that we did last session. Are you seeing that, and can you give us some kind of update?
Commissioner Showalter.
Madam Chair, Senator Perry. I think the issue of reform and improving management of state governments, it really is near to my heart. The challenge I think that we have is that, you know, as Senator Higgins was pointing out, that there's a lot of really crucial backroom work that needs to be done, and people who've been there and really are dedicated to getting that done. And the changes that we've gone through, I think the uncertainty that we've gone through, and the demographics that we are currently going through are all really impacting some of the potential and the timing of the reform. I'll get to the reform in one second, but just as an example, we had more retirements in the state by July of 2011 than we had in any previous year. The number of some of those long-term people who really were the backbone of state government, they're starting to leave. And so we've got demographics, recruiting, training issues that are going to be really important to do some things new in new ways. Because you always assume everything's going to work and then we're just going to take it to a new level. Well, if your foundation's crumbling a little bit, it's hard to get to that next level up. That being said, I think, that we are in a really good place. The governor, the legislature are all interested in managing, reforming government, and finding ways to do it. We've been fanning that notion all along. We're getting ready to sort of accumulate some of the projects and some of the stories that are out there. And I think so we can tell you on a very concrete basis. I know it as a matter of faith. I know it from anecdotes, but now I think we're going to get to a place where I can tell you, here's what's going on in the Department of Public Safety. Here's what's going on in agencies beyond Minnesota Management Budget. Some of the big successes, sure. Looking at consolidating enterprise technology, I think that we had some doubters. We had some resistance. That's natural. But that first wave of consolidation, I think, has gone very successfully, and I think all the commissioners would say, yep, this is going in the right direction. Do not start parting, though. That was the easy part. We've got two or three really, really difficult years in order to make that success. And some of that toughest work is still to come. I think our SWIFT project's been incredibly successful. While incredibly backroom, infrastructure-oriented, we've delivered that first implementation on time within budget, despite implementation problems with our consultants, despite uncertainties on the budget process and lots of transition within our agency and other places. I think there's a lot of really good things that are going on, and what I would really commend to this committee especially is that we need to talk about that. We need to talk about that in positive terms because state employees are watching, they're listening, and they're wondering whether we all think it's possible to do state government better or whether we're all just going to criticize anything that happens. Reform is about that empowering management. It's about talking about those successes and accepting once in a while that we fail and not chastising that, but picking the managers up and going back at it. So I think we're doing it going in the right direction, but we've got a lot more work to do.
Senator Perry.
Just one follow-up, Madam Chair. And I would say, Commissioner, that I agree with you because you and I have talked about that. We know that there's going to be some bumps in the road. We know there's going to be some mistakes made. The fear is always that when the mistake is made, somebody's head goes off on a platter. And I would just hope that as we move through with all of these changes that are happening, that we're upfront and open and let each other know right out of the chute if something's not going to work or if we get to that point, rather than to wait, just, you know, hey, this is just not working. We've got to stop this and go in a different direction.
Absolutely.
Senator Olson.
Thank you. I too want to commend you for all of your hard work. I'm not going to try to repeat the things that I agree with from many of my colleagues, with the perhaps the exception of this nose-to-nose business of Senator Perry. But
it's the mental picture, right?
Yeah. And I thank you for that.
But I've got a couple questions on, some, you know, not the same line of comment, but area. One, when you were talking about the stimulus and how that helped us, do you have any idea of how what percentage or what portion of those monies carried that little maintenance of effort requirement that I think gets us into trouble? We've seen that, and I think in many of the committees we've been frustrated by the federal government essentially imposing something with that carrot in an area that they really do not have the constitutional responsibility or authority for, but kind of it's a sophisticated form of bullying that requires us then to go on and maintain the effort on our own. Was there much of that tied to that? Because some of us saw one little piece or another, but I wonder if you have a handle on how much was maintenance of effort or how much was actually allowing us the flexibility to use it as we needed to and cope with it going away.
Commissioner Showalter.
Madam Chair, Senator. From my perspective, very little of the ARRA dollars that came into the state, you know, more than $5 billion came into the state, very little, very few of those grants had maintenance of effort requirements, except for one really big one. Which is in the Medicaid program. You know, that's where the maintenance of effort came in. I did not see that from most of the other grants.
Okay.
Most of them were just above and beyond existing federal effort. And in the Medicaid instance, you know, there's some logic to it from the federal perspective. It doesn't always feel that way from the state perspective, but from the federal side, you know, they're trying to buy something. They're trying to buy continued spending levels from the states because they're looking at macroeconomic policy and saying we don't want to have more spending drag on the economy. You know, that's what they thought they were buying. It tied our hands. There's no doubt about it. And that was about, you know, in the order of $1.5 billion of the more than $5 billion that came into the state. Mm-hmm. So it was a significant dollar amount, but it was really that one program where I think that came up to
okay.
play.
Thank you. And the other one is, one of the things I heard from constituents the most frequently during that shutdown period was why in the world did they shut down enterprises that were actually being paid for entirely by the users or the fees? Was that a legal thing or was that a political? I don't want to kind of try to open it up to the politics of this whole business, but could that have, was that just a decision made, or was it felt that was essential to shut everything down and not, never mind that they weren't tied to the general fund and the budget that we had not yet completed?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Senator, on the shutdown, yeah, it's definitely a legal thing. Looking at the number of lawsuits that were on my desk those days, it was really a legal thing. And it was a question of, you know, what authorities are we operating? And state government isn't built to be pulled apart in individual pieces like, you know, cinnamon buns coming out of a tray. You know, just like the enterprise technology, you know, everything is interrelated. And so if one piece is shut down but another one isn't, you know, it doesn't work. So can you really manage an agency and run them if you have nobody to cut their checks? So those kinds of interrelationships are ill-defined, and I don't know that a single piece of legislation really will define all of that unless you just keep everything running.
Okay, thank you.
I know, Commissioner, that there are bills out there that would keep places like Canterbury Park in my district going by providing an ongoing appropriation of the fees that they pay to keep the Racing Commission there regulating the races. And I think that there are others like that, that where people looked at something that was truly a private business but is state regulated, but they were shut down because the state regulators were being laid off because of the shutdown. And the state government bill hadn't been approved yet with the appropriation of those fees. But, you know, thinking in the bigger picture, do we need to have those fees appropriated every 2 years, or if they're paid for a specific purpose all the time, could they be a standing appropriation, that they would automatically go for that purpose? And we'll have that discussion in this committee in the future. And, you know, your involvement in it will be appreciated, I'm sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and look forward to that conversation. I think the really awkward question is, if the state does shut down in the future, which operations are the ones that we want to keep open? You know, are the things that are farthest out and aren't all that core, but nonetheless they have a funding mechanism that works, or are there certain priorities and service functions that we're trying to keep open? And that's where we were coming from, sort of a critical life health safety. What is the rule of reason that you're trying to follow? Is it simply the appropriation law? Is it some more overarching statement of what should be continuing? That's part of the trade-off, and I'd say it's a sticky set of questions.
Well, our hope is that we won't have another shutdown in any of our terms, but it could happen 20, 30 years from now, and then just like this time, it would be nice to have a little more of a guideline for it. So if we can help lay that out, that might be a good thing, because others who haven't experienced won't know what the problems are, but we have seen them, and maybe we can address some of them while they're still fresh in our memories. So, yep. Are there any other questions from members? Senator Magnus?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Showalter, I appreciate the years of service you've given to the state, and I respect your work, and got to know you as your assistant commissioner, and we worked through that and did a good job. And I appreciate you getting back to me in the instances that I've asked your help on things. So, Madam Chair, if it's the time, I would like to move that this committee recommend that the appointment of James Showalter as a commissioner of the Department of Management and Budget be confirmed.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Otherwise, all those in favor of Senator Magnus's motion that we recommend the confirmation of Commissioner Showalter to the full Senate, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion is adopted, and the confirmation recommendation will be sent to the full Senate. And I don't believe there's any other business before the committee today. We will not be meeting Tuesday, of course, because of caucus day or Wednesday, but we do plan to meet on Thursday, and we have some bills on the agenda that day, so we would appreciate your attendance. With that, the meeting is adjourned.